All right. Good morning, everyone. We still got some people over at the gym. If y'all didn't come for breakfast, I'm sorry you missed it. There's probably a few cinnamon rolls or something like that left if you go and knock on at the gym afterwards. But for those that did come to breakfast this morning, that what a great way to start out the year of just being together and having fellowship as a church. Just wanted to make a few announcements this morning. Coming up next Sunday, normally we have our prayer time, our pray and play on the first Sunday of the month, but being a holiday today, we're moving that to next Sunday. So if you want to come next Sunday, 5 o'clock in our fellowship hall, we're going to pray for 30 minutes and then we have food and game time after that. It's our pray and play we do every month. So I just want to invite everybody to that. I also want to just go ahead and let you know on Thursday, which is January the 5th. If you're not doing anything at lunch, we do a thing here called Seasoned Saints. It's for our retirees and people that are available for a Thursday lunch. It's kind of a potluck. The church brings the meat and everybody brings some vegetables or some side items. And we just have a great time at our Seasoned Saint Fellowship. That's the first Thursday of every month. And then I'm just going to go ahead and give you a early notice. Last year in February, we did a chili cook-off, and we were talking that we just can't just let it go with my mom being the only chili cook-off winner. So in February this year again for Super Bowl Sunday, we are going to have our chili cook-off. So if you want to just start thinking right now how you can feed me chili, you start thinking, because it was a really good day and it was some good stuff. We want to thank y'all for being here. I'm going to open in prayer and then Chris is going to lead us in worship. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, it's good to be in your house on the first day of the year. God, we thank you that you're here. We have no idea what this year holds, but we know that you do, and we know that we can trust you. So God, for whatever comes, God, thank you for letting us get the first day right of being in your house and worshiping you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning again. It is wonderful being here. I see I got some of my cleaners must have finished the gym. I told them to keep some stuff for me so that I could come help clean up after, but apparently they didn't. That's okay. Well, I'm excited because it's New Year's Day, and you know, whenever I think about New Year's Day, I think of a new chapter, and I kind of want to explain that because, you know, so many times when we look at something new, we kind of think, oh, it's just starting, it's something brand new, it's something I haven't experienced before. But when we think of a new year, if we start thinking it as a new chapter, that kind of changes kind of the view, because it's not that you have to totally redo everything. It's not that you have to say, what's the new storyline? You just say, how do I advance what I'm doing? Because that's kind of how a book works, right? I mean, you have the book that's telling the story, but chapter by chapter by chapter by chapter, you're heading from the beginning through the middle and to the conclusion. And I kind of see that with our lives so many times. If we look at every year as a new chapter, we could say, what happened last year? And how can I take that and this year add to it? And this year add to it and add to it? You know, the problem sometimes is we start repeating chapters. Have you ever been stuck in a chapter? It might be when you're reading a book, where like you're reading along and you put it down and you forget to mark your place, and then you come back and pick it back up and you go, oh, maybe I'm here, and you start reading and you go, oh no, that all sounds real familiar, and you have to kind of go forward a little bit. But in our lives, I think a lot of times we just start repeating the same chapter over and over and over again, especially in our spiritual lives. We kind of go, we don't look back and say, what happened last year and how can I make it better? We just keep on repeating. It reminds me of the movie Groundhog's Day. I don't know if y'all remember that movie. Bill Murray, he lived the same day, Groundhog's Day, over and over and over and over again. And I think a lot of times in our Christian lives, we get kind of that point where we're just living the same day
over and over the same year. So what I want to do on this first day of the year is I want to be very practical this morning. I want to say, what are three questions that we can ask ourselves here on January 1st? And hopefully if you write them down, if you look on the back of your bulletin, there's a place to write them down, maybe stick them in your Bible. And maybe in April or in July or in September, pull these questions out and ask yourself again, am I moving the story forward? Am I going forward with these questions to see if my new chapter is covering new ground? So let's just jump into it this morning. The three questions that I think we should ask ourselves this year if we want to see our lives move forward, especially in our Christian life. And me being a movie buff, and I watched a bunch of movies over New Year's. That's what we do on New Year's. We play games, we watch movies, and football. So go TCU, Texas team in there now. That's kind of good. So Georgia, yeah, okay. So here we go. Three questions that you can ask this year. The first one, I'm going to tie to the movie The Karate Kid. So I call this the Karate Kid question. If you remember in The Karate Kid, you had Daniel wanting to learn karate and Mr. Miyagi saying, I'm going to teach you to karate. And you know, that plot right there was him coming to Mr. Miyagi's house, and all of a sudden, instead of learning karate, he put him to work. Y'all remember that? And there was that one line that everybody remembered was, wax on, wax off, wax off. You know, it was that thing to get Daniel's muscle memory going, kind of get that rhythm, the rhythm of on, the rhythm of off. And in fact, I love that phrase that Mr. Miyagi, and always breathe, very important, always breathe. And I was kind of, yeah, I think for our Christian life, that's a good thought too. What were we putting on and what are we taking off? And always breathe. So your first question is, this year, what am I putting on and what am I taking off? What am I putting on and what am I taking off? Now, this is a very biblical thought. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 through 24, it says this. It says in 22, he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and in holiness. Did you pick up the rhythm there? He said, if you want to have something different this year, in your new chapter, we always come up with these, this is what I'm going to do this year. You know, I want to have a New Year's resolution. But I want you to feel that rhythm of if you take something off, you need to put something on. If you put something new on, you need to take something off. It's this combination of thoughts of saying, not only what do I need to do, but what do I need not to do? So what are you putting on and what are you taking off? Let me give you some examples of what that might look like. Like this year, you might say, you know, I want to stop gossiping. So you say, I want to stop that. I want to take that off. But if you don't put something on in its place, you're going to just fall right back into that same routine. And so a thought might be, I want to take off gossiping, but I want to put on encouraging others. I want to take off envying what other people have, but I want to put on giving and being generous with what I do have. I want to take off things that might lead to any kind of sexual sin, but I want to put on things that lead to purity. I want to take off anger, so I'm going to replace it with gratitude. You know, this rhythm of on, off, always make sure you're breathing while you're doing it. Yeah, our trouble is sometimes we do one or the other, right? We say, well, I'm going to stop doing something or I'm going to start doing something. It's almost like clothes. Can you throw me that jacket right there? You know, it's great. You know, I've got something in my life that I don't like. So instead of worrying about taking it off, I'm going to get something new and I'm going to put it on. And see, and we start this at the first of the year, right? I've got this great resolution I'm making. But for some reason, things start feeling uncomfortable, right? They start feeling heavy. And after a while, you go, this just isn't working. I'm getting rid of that new thing that I wanted to do. You see, to put something on, we need to be thinking, am I taking something else off? Now, the opposite of that is taking something off without putting anything else on. And clothes-wise, that'll just lead to nudity, and we don't want any of that. So what we want is we want you to take things off, but to put things back on. And here's the big thing. When you take it off, you got to leave it over there. Because if you don't put something else back on in its place, the natural bent that we have as humans is to go back over to what we know. And sometimes you've got the best self-discipline, right? Where you kind of go, I am not, y'all know me, since May I've been trying to lose weight, right? And I'm trying to do this keto thing, and it's been working. The last few months I've kind of plateaued out, but I discovered this, that, I'm not eating the incredible cream pie that Rebecca made, or the incredible, what does she call it, toffee that she made, or the apple, all that stuff, you know? But here's, even if I have the greatest self-discipline, what I would do is, you know, I would just kind of sit there and go, well, I really want that. I'm not going to have it, but I want that. But I'm not going to touch it, but I want that. And I'm staying in the zone of it. And when there's no margin between what you're taking off and yourself, it's real easy just to reach out and get it. So this is what I did for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I went and bought all the sugar-free candy I could find. Now, I know it's bad for me. I know there's poison in that stuff. But I said, I got to have something. And so I found these little turtle candies that are kind of like the toffee. And I found some other stuff that's kind of like the other desserts. So that when I start feeling that, I'm going to go, no. I've got something else to put on. Now, yeah, I'm using food, but I mean, you can use it in any of your life things. You can do it in any of your spiritual things. What are you putting on? But not just that, what are you taking off? Are you paying attention to that? And I put here, as a church, you kind of say, you know, I want to be more involved in the church. You know, I want to come to Sunday school. I want to get involved in a small group. I want to get involved in a prayer time. All this stuff sounds good, but I guarantee you, your life is busy as it is. And no matter how much you say, we're going to be at church every Sunday, if you leave your Saturday night like it is right now, it probably isn't going to change your Sunday morning any. You got to say, I want something new, but I'll probably have to take something off to get to it. And then you make those choices of what to get. You know, maybe something new you need to do is you said, hey, I want to, be more involved, but there's something that's always been holding you back. You know, you've kind of said, well, I'll do this, but I won't do that. And maybe that's something, that attitude of, I won't do that. We always tell people, one of the first things Jesus said, if you get saved, you need to be baptized. There's beautiful things in it, but the most beautiful thing is if God tells me to be baptized and I'm saved, you know, my first act of obedience should be to say, hey, yeah, I'll do that. But a lot of times that pride gets in our way. So maybe this year you say, man, if I want to be closer to God, but I've never even taken that point of commitment of getting baptized, you might say, okay, I'm going to take off the pride, set it over here. And I'm just going to come and tell Blake, hey, I'd love to be baptized. It's something I haven't done. We had 6 people get baptized last year. 6 people. That's just from our little bitty church. And I'm just so excited that God's going to give more opportunities. But it has to be that mentality of, what am I taking off? Wax on? Wax off. And breathe. And you'll be amazed at what God can do. So this year, come back to that question. You know, as you're going, hey, it's April and I don't feel like my Christian life has changed any. I don't feel like my marriage has changed any. I don't feel like my work relationships have changed any. Stop and ask that question. What did I want to put on, and did I take anything off? Did I take anything off? So that's your first one, the Karate Kid question. Now the second question, there's only three. The second question I call the while you were sleeping question. Wow, I don't know if y'all ever watched that movie. In that movie, you had Sandra Bullock. And Sandra, what she had was she worked at this toll booth, and every day this really good-looking rich guy would come by. And she just really wanted to get to know him. And then one day, he has an accident. He falls. I don't remember. You remember that part of the story? I don't remember what happened to him. But he falls, and she rushes out there to help him, and she gets him to the hospital, and the only way she could get in is to tell him that's her fiance, even though she'd never talked to him more than just give me some money for this and that, but she'd always wanted to. And the next thing you know, there's this whole comedy of this movie of this guy waking up thinking he's had amnesia because he doesn't remember his fiance. And so, in this movie, here's what Sandra Bullock does, is there's a closed door. This guy isn't interested in her. He's got a life totally different, and he has no care. But even though that door has been very apparently closed for her, as soon as there was that opportunity to try to work it, even though that door is closed, I've got this opportunity to kind of work in there. And so she kept on pushing at a closed door. But here's the cool thing. By the end of the movie, that closed door led to an open door. The closed door led to an open door. If you remember the movie, she actually falls in love with his brother, and she doesn't want to marry the rich, good-looking one. Well, I guess the other brother was good-looking too, but whatever. I mean, a closed door. So that's what I want you to think on this question. On this question, the while you were sleeping question is, where are the closed doors and where are the open doors in my life? Where are the closed doors? Why is this important? Because that's how God deals with us a lot of times. God deals with us. We want something, and God says, no, that's not what you need, so he closes the door. But then he has some other ideas for us, some things that we would have never thought of, so much better than what we thought of, and we walk up to those doors, and they're wide open. And so we need to always, if you want to have the best New Year's you can have, the best year this year, is to be aware of closed doors and be aware of open doors. I've got doors over there. I tell you what, can you go open that door for me? That'll give you a visual. Much, much better with a visual. So I got a closed door and an open door. If God's teaching me something through these, how do I need to look? Well, first let's look in the scripture. In Acts chapter 16, we see Paul using open doors to discover what God wants him to do. In Acts 16, verse 6, it says this, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia. Hey, listen, let me tell you how. If you come to a word in the Bible you don't know how to pronounce, just be confident about it, and nobody ever knows. So, Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit when preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of my Asia, they tried to enter Bithynia. See, I just made that up, but y'all wouldn't know it. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So what just happened? Paul said, we're sharing God. We've been sharing God over here, but all of a sudden we try to go here to share this word of God with these people, and the door is closed. Now, what would you do? What do you do when you hit closed doors in your life? Well, here's what some people do. They get mad, right? I'm trying to share your word, God, in Paul's thing, but maybe in your life, I'm trying to get this job. I'm trying to build this relationship. I'm trying to fix this deal with my son or my daughter. I'm trying to, financially get ahead, God. Why is the door shut? And then we get mad that there's a shut door there, and we get mad at God, and we kind of give up. Okay, God, if you're going to be that way, the other thing we do like Sandra Bullock, right? We camp out at the closed door. Maybe, even though God closed it, maybe it'll crack open and I can just slide right in because God, you don't know what's best for me, right? I know what's best for me. But that's not what Paul did. Paul didn't get mad and he didn't just say, I'm just going to wait here until I can get in there because I know it's right. Here's what Paul did. It says when they got there, he said, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia. They just said, okay, there's a closed door. I'm going to keep on moving. He passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come to Macedonia and help us. In verse 10, after Paul had seen this vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. He said, there's an open door over here. Here's Paul's thing. He said, when there's a closed door, he said, I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to camp out. I'm going to say, God, where is the open door? I'm going to start looking. I'm going to start looking at what people say to me. I'm going to start looking at what people God brings into my life. I'm going to start looking at what scriptures I'm reading. I'm going to start listening to the music on the Christian radio station. See if that kind of stuff. You know, when we hit a closed door, that could be the best thing God's ever done for you. Could be the absolute best thing. I'll tell you the best thing we got for Christmas this year. Little Rosie the robot vacuum cleaner. Y'all got one of those? That little sucker, you plug him in, and at night, he zooms around your house. He's this little UFO-looking thing, and he vacuums and sweeps. Praise the Lord. I was not sleeping well, so I was up at 2 o'clock the other night after Christmas, and I watched Rosie the robot come out of her little place. It's really a shark something or other, but I like to call her Rosie because I love the Jetsons. And I really was waiting for her to ask me if I want a cup of coffee. She hadn't done it yet. But anyway, and here's the coolest thing. She's still in the mapping mode right now, trying to learn our house. And here's what she does. She runs up to the TV. She's got some little radar thing that tells her there's a solid object. And then she turns around and she comes back till she hits another object. And she goes back and forth and back and forth. And a little bit later, here she comes zooming through again. And she is perfectly going through our house, missing all the tables and everything else. And I just thought for a minute, the only way she knew how to do that was she kept looking at the closed doors and going, if I want to map out what I need to do in my life for Rosie the Robot, I've got to hit as many closed doors as I can so I know what the right doors are. Listen, you hit a closed door this year, think of Rosie the Robot. God is leading you somewhere, and every time you hit one of those closed doors, I'm mapping it out. Next time I'm going to miss that, and I'm going to move faster and faster and faster to that open door. Some of the greatest blessings you can have is a closed door, because it's going to lead you to an open door in your finances, in your family, in your future. Here's what Paul did, if you just kind of look at it. Two things. He trusted God and he kept moving. That's the best advice I can give you this year. When you hit a closed door in your life, you say this, God, I trust you and I'm going to keep on moving. And it's true with other things in life. A moving object is much easier to direct, right? A moving object is much easier to slide this way or move this way than a stopped object. So when we trust God and go, oh, closed door, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to see where that open door is. And how many times have we seen it happen that we get so mad that God closed a door, but 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the line, we go, man, I'm glad I didn't go through that door. I'm glad. I can tell you about my wife, right? The girl I was dating before her, I praise the Lord I didn't get married to her, right? Because I would have missed the greatest open door of my life. So we got to see that in all our areas. Closed door is a blessing. So remember the while you were sleeping question. So our two questions we have is, first the what am I putting on? What am I taking off? And then how am I reacting to closed and open doors in my life? Am I moving and trusting while those are coming? Once again, middle of the year, just jump in there and say, God, how am I doing in those two areas? Last question. I call it the home alone question. Home Alone. Did anybody watch Home Alone over the holidays? It's kind of a classic now. Macaulay Culkin, don't look at what he's doing in his life now. Just realize he was a cute kid back then. Macaulay Culkin, he's Kevin in the movie. And if y'all remember, I just remember that scene of Kevin getting so mad at his family. And he's up in the attic because all the other family's over and they're fixing to take this trip somewhere. And he got shoved in the attic because his bedwetting cousin wanted to sleep with him. And him just going, I wish I didn't have a family, right? I wish I didn't have a family. And he wakes up in the morning and he goes, you know, and he yells all their names through the house, you know, and he realizes that he's all alone, that he's been left by his entire family. But instead of being scared, mad, worried, he goes, yeah! Yeah, he thought that that was important. He thought that this not having his family around was important. But what he learned through the movie by the end of it is that he could survive without his family. But as soon as his mom came there, you know, he ran into his arms and he found out what he thought was important wasn't that important after all. That family was much more important than what he thought. And so the Home Alone question is, what seems important and what really is important? What seems important in your life right now and what really is important in your life right now? It's a hard question, but it's one that we really need to think about, because so many times we get so stressed out about what just seems important. You know, the Kevin going, you know, I can be by myself, that we miss the most important things in our lives chasing after those things that just seem important. Matthew 22. Let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and we'll do 36 through 39 on this one. Matthew 22. I don't know if I have that up there, but I like this one. Matthew 22, 36 through 39. It says this. 36. Oop, lost it. Come into it. Oh, wait a minute. Did I write down wrong? Oh, I'm in Acts. Okay, if you want to read Matthew 22, do not go to Acts. Let me go ahead and tell you that. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39. Here we go. It says in 36. Okay. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and Pharisees and got together, one of them, an expert in law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Well, this is the one I've got, but we'll go with it. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." He asked this question. He said, "What's really important? What's really important?" And if I asked you that question today, if I said, what's really important in your life? And maybe, or let's turn it this way. What if Jesus was standing here? And you said, Jesus, I don't know what this year's going to be like. I don't know what I need to focus on. I don't know what I need to do. Jesus, what's really important? Here's what he would say. He would say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commands. God says this, if you want to have a great year, focus on those two things. Loving him and loving others. Loving him and loving others. Well, how do you love him? Well, you know, a real simple thing is you want to hear what he has to say in your life, right? You want to hear what he has to say. Here's what I found out about God. You know, if you love him and you're going, God, what do you want me to do? There are two ways that God's going to teach you what he wants you to do. Number one's the easy way. You spend some time with him. You read some scriptures. You come to church. You talk to him. You talk to other godly people. And you're going to find out what God wants you to do in different situations. I say it's easy, but you got to go kind of work at it. You kind of go, God, I'm praying about this. I know this godly person in my life. I'm going to ask their advice. You know, I'm going to search your word out. That's the easy way. The hard way is God said, well, I'm just going to take you through a trial, and then you're going to learn what I want to do. Now, it's up to you. You know, if you say the most important thing is loving God, and I want to know what God wants for me, you got two choices. You can either start spending time with God, or God's going to start working in your life where you want to spend time with him. So realize that's going on. And maybe a lot of the trouble that you've got going on in your life right now, a lot of the issues that you're fighting against, I'm not going to say they go away. I mean, we're all going to have issues. But suddenly, the perspective of them and the importance of them change as you spend more time with God. So, you know, here's your question. What's important? What just seems important? You know, if it's important, how about this? How about spend some time with God every day this year? And don't get overloaded with it. Remember the take it, you know, take off and put on. You know, if you're going to say, I'm going to put on some time with God every morning, figure out what that time is. I always tell people, don't start with 30 minutes of reading the Bible. Don't. You're going to get frustrated, especially if you start at the beginning of the Bible. By Numbers, you're done. Just say this. Say, I'm going to spend 5 minutes, 3 minutes. And then just look. Say, in my morning schedule, what would it take for me to spend 3 minutes with God? And it's real simple. You just say, well, I need to wake up 3 minutes earlier. So if you get up at 6, get up at 5:57. Now you go, Blake, that 3 minutes, I really need it for my beauty rest. No, you don't. And if you do, great. If you go to bed at 10, go to bed at 9:53 now. And now you get your full sleep, but now in your morning, you got a little bit more time with God. And then loving people. Can I tell you that that's the key to your life? Loving people. I was reading a Facebook post the other day of this kid that I knew when he was in high school, and he really was a kind of a self-centered kid, you know, if you just got to know him. But something happened to him, and he was writing about it this year as he was putting down his goals for next year. He said, I just started praying and asking God to help me be less self-centered and think more of other people. And he said, I can't tell you how much that changed my life this year. And what if we just did that? What if through the year we keep coming back to that thought, what's really important? And then write down all the stuff that's kind of important. You know, my mortgage, my health, you know, all that stuff. It's important. But what's really important? How am I doing it loving God? And how am I doing it loving others? And then suddenly you're going to find some of those, that movement making some of those less important things kind of move into the right direction. Jesus said, you seek me first. And then what did he say? All these things will be added unto you. All these things you worry about, if you'll just seek me first. Well, there you go. There's your three questions this year. The Karate Kid. I gave you a move. The Karate Kid question, wax on, wax off. What are you taking on? What are you taking off? The while you were sleeping question, what am I doing with closed doors? What am I doing with open doors? And the home alone question, what's really important and what's just kind of important? Ask those questions through the year and you'll be amazed at what God does in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you're so good. You're so good because you love us, because you give us opportunities every day. Your word says your mercies are new every day. And God, that means no matter what situation we're in, God, what comes against us, God, at the end of the day when we're tired and exhausted, we can just say, God, we love you, and I'm just going to wait for your mercies in the morning. And God, just as we wait for your mercies, I just want to come back to that thought. Just give us a desire to love you more and then love others like you would. And God, I thank you that you trust us that much to give us that kind of responsibility. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I like that phrase, love God, love others. Our church phrase is love God, love others, make a difference. If you want to be a part of a church that's got that vision for Waller and the community, maybe today God's kind of putting something on your heart to put on new this year, and that's be a part of our church, part of our fellowship. I'd love to tell you how you can join our church. Maybe it's just right now something's really heavy on your heart, something that really is important. And when I say it's not the most important, I understand it's important. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. I'm going to be down front. I got Roy, I got Sanford, I got some other leaders in our church here. We would love to pray for you, but you got to ask. You got to tell us, what can we pray for you for? And finally, maybe you've never asked Jesus in your heart. If you came to our Christmas Eve service, we saw God move in an incredible way. 13 people made a decision for the Lord that night. But maybe you were here, or maybe you weren't here, and you just say, man, starting out this year, the thing I need to put on is Christ's righteousness and to take off my sin and let Jesus handle that. I would love to tell you how you can ask Jesus into your heart. During this invitation time, I'll be down front.